I invite you to please turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. My text today will be verse 19 through verse 21. And I would like to read this to begin with. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not too long ago, I made mention of the rapture. And I said something to the effect of, if the Lord comes back tonight, you can keep anything I have. And although I said that in jest, the truth is, when we go to be with the Lord at His return, we will leave it all behind. Our departure in that day will be very much like when we die. Job understood this fact after he lost about everything, and he said, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." I saw a post on Facebook which also teaches this lesson, and I quote, "No matter how big your house is, how recent your car is, how big your bank account is, our graves will be the same size. Stay humble." How true, how true. When we leave this world, we will not take anything with us. Yet we read in our text that we can lay up treasure in heaven. We cannot take it with us, but we can send it on ahead. So I'd like to speak to you from this passage, a message which I've entitled, "Invest in the Spiritual." Invest in the spiritual. And let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. We thank you for these who could be with us. Our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you'd bless them, heal them, protect those that are away, and Lord, just watch over us all. But we come together today in your name to honor you and to worship in spirit and in truth. And we trust that everything that's said and done would be to your honor and to your glory. Speak to our hearts. Teach us through your word today that which you've laid upon my heart to share. That those of us who are saved might be encouraged to live for you, to love you, to be found faithful, and to invest in the spiritual. And we do pray for those in our midst that are lost, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ, convict them of their sin, grant repentance and faith that they might be saved, and Lord, that they would have a home in heaven someday. And so we just commit this time to you today. We honor you with it, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Invest in the spiritual. First thing I want to do is to look into our text and notice verse 19, because Jesus gives us an analogy of the earthly. Verse 19 tells us this story. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Now, first of all, what we find are those first three words, "lay not up." Lay not up. What this is in the language is the verb with, of course, the negative. We do that all the time. We have walk, don't walk. So what we find is that we have verbs, things that we can do, action that we can take place, and we just put it in a negative by putting the word no with it. And that's what we have here. We have lay up, but don't lay up. So lay not up. It's the word in the language with the word not associated with it. So what is the word in the language? The word in the language, actually this is a command, but the word means to collect up or to lay up in store, or to accumulate wealth. It is to treasure up, to heap up. And so that's the word for lay up. So in that verb, do not lay up. The word comes from a word in the original language, which the word is the word treasury, or a deposit, or a store, storing up of things. And so when you look at the verb usage here, lay not up. Treasure not up. That really is a good translation. Treasure not up. And you add that word then. Treasure not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. And that word treasures there is the root word for the verb that we just looked at. So again, treasure not up treasures upon the earth. That's what the text is. That's what it says very clearly. I think of Joseph in Egypt, what about laying up in store. You remember when they were going to have 7 years of great plenty in Egypt? And Joseph says, what we need to do during this great time, since it's going to be followed by years of famine, we need to take, and they took 20%, and they saved it up, and they had great storehouses of grain. Joseph laid up, and so he stored up. Now we're told in this earthly analogy, do not treasure up treasures. That's what Jesus teaches us. So, what do we find when we look at this verse and we see the analogy that's offered before us? He says, lay down up treasures upon the earth. And so, what he is talking about are those things which involve only its use in this world. Lay not up treasures upon earth. This is what it's for. This is what it's going to be used to the extent. And this is the only matter of which it will be expressed in, just upon the earth, and much of what we have. We just use up only here. We use up only that resource. Lay not up treasures. Treasure not up treasures upon the earth. And so what it is, these are things that are laid up for future use while here. For example, that Joseph laid up the grain for when the years of famine came, they could open up the stores of grain and they could help feed the Egyptians and the Israelites and so many others that came. Now, we lay up treasures on earth, do we not? I suspect that you probably have a retirement plan. I suspect that you probably have some investments. I suspect that you might have a bank account. Now, is he just saying that you can never have any of these things? I really don't think that's the case when you look at the entire passage. But what he is saying is, if that's all that you're doing, if all you're laying up is that which is upon the earth, and all your focus is right here for your future use, he says, don't do that. Lay not up treasures for yourselves upon the earth. That heaping it up, that accumulation indicates an abundant supply. We just have to get more and more. We want as much as we can. But the problem with that is, we see in the last part of that text, is there are problems in this domain. When you talk about the earth and you lay up treasures upon the earth, there are problems with laying up treasures upon the earth. And he lists it there within the passage. The first thing we find in the text is that earthly things deteriorate. Just simple fact. He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Turn, if you would, to the book of James, chapter 5. The book of James, chapter 5. Truth of the matter is, earthly things deteriorate. That great house that you have, it's going to wear out. That brand new car, it's going to wear out. The investments, it's all going to be used up. I mean, just give it time. Things happen. And so earthly things deteriorate. Now, James writes to the rich people, and he just gives a warning to them. And in verse 1 down through verse 3, he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you, for your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. That's the same thing that Jesus is saying in the passage. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. The fact is that stuff corrodes, it deteriorates. You look back into our passage, he warns them, don't lay up treasures upon the earth. You know why? Because the moth will get to it. It'll become corrupted. It will rust. It will corrode. Earthly things deteriorate. We also find in that passage that earthly things can be stolen. And we hear about that all the time. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And so you're concerned about that. You say, well, I've got it in a safety deposit box down at the bank. You have it, some clever crook can get to that one of these days. Or the government will come in and take over your assets. That could happen too. And so what we have is, he says, don't put all your things upon the earth. Don't treasure up everything, because this stuff will deteriorate and they can be stolen. And we have so much problem in our society with the technology, with the stolen identities and how they can just get into your bank account and wipe you out. And they can take your investments. Those scammers that were taking the retirement of those people, you remember, Enron and others? I mean, they stole it all from them. And they thought they had this laid up for many days, but it's gone. Things can be stolen. And if you would, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. I want to remind you, as wise Solomon spoke to us in Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, the truth of the matter is, the earthly things will be left behind. We tend to forget that. I know I have a problem with that myself. Earthly things will be left behind. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, and in verse 18, Solomon writes and he says, "Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I labored, and wherein I showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity." What's he saying here? Well, look at that. I work and I labor and I do all this in my life, and then when I die, I'm going to leave it to somebody behind me. And so you have people that run businesses. They started it from scratch. But you know what? One of these days they're going to leave this world and somebody else is going to take care of it. And you don't know whether they're going to be wise or whether they're going to be foolish. You don't know what they're going to do. And all of us, if we leave an inheritance to our family, you don't know what they're going to do with it. You know, some people receive an inheritance and they just spend it wildly and they just consume it all and very quickly. And then you have others that are very wise with the use of their inheritance. You just don't know what's going to happen to it all. And so Solomon expresses that. Going to leave it all behind. In Psalm 49, verse 10, let me read to you this verse. "Wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others." Fact of the matter is, all that we have in this world, we're going to leave it behind when we leave this world. That includes, if Jesus should come back today and take us home, we're not taking anything with us. Now, you might be looking at our text and you say, "But wait a second, he talks about this, don't lay it up upon the earth." But the truth is, we can enjoy it while here. And that is true. God is the one that blesses us. God is the one that provides for us. And I think it's all right to enjoy what you have. But we have to keep in mind that this world is temporal. It's very fleeting. And so you say, "Well, I can enjoy it here." But if it's all about you and you don't think about anything else, when you leave, it's all here. Well, your joy is diminished. That's it. It's over. You got all your gusto while you were going through. And that's the way they advertise in our society. But the fact is, there's more to our existence than this life. And there's more than just this gusto. And so if you just say, "Well, I'm just going to heap it up because I can enjoy it while I'm here," that may be true. And even though I'm going to leave it to others, I'm going to enjoy it while I can. That may be true. But you're all going to leave it all behind. Going to leave it behind. You know, the fact of the matter is, when you think about the enjoyment of things, back in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 2, you know, you can possibly have and God can bless you, but you can't partake of it. Here's what Solomon wrote in chapter 6, verse 2, "A rich man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease." What's he saying there? He says it's possible to have all this. God has given you and blessed you, but you can't partake of it. And don't you read about people like that? People that have everything that the world has to offer. They have plenty of resources, plenty of money. They have houses and boats and lands and cars and everything else. And they're in the sick bed and they can't enjoy any of it. They're confined to the bed. What an evil thing, Solomon says. God's blessed you with whatever your heart may desire, and you can't partake of it. The best food that you have to eat, and some people can't eat it. They're eating through a tube. I don't mock them. I'm just saying that the problem is with putting all of your heaping up and your wealth here, that's an issue because you're going to leave it behind, and you may not even be able to enjoy it while it's here. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 12. And we have to also remember, and I know this is negative, but we're looking at a negative verse. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." Luke chapter 12. We'll go from the negative to the positive in just a second. So hang in there with me. When you think about these things that are in this life, fact is, we do not know how long we have to enjoy it. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And we have in the story about a rich man who had plenty of that was going on. He had crops were overflowing, and he says, "Well, I have so much, I'm going to pull down my barns and build bigger barns. I'm so blessed. I'm just going to keep laying that up." And just pick it up there in verse 19. He says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years." What did he do? He heaped up treasure, or he treasured up treasure upon the earth. And he says, "I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Now, no man knows the length of his time. I'm not saying for you to go out and just squander everything today on the prospect you might die tomorrow. You might come up, you might live tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and then you'll regret the decision to squander everything away. But if you heap up everything to this life, you may not get a chance to use it. That happens way too often. People who've worked all their life to retire, and they retire, and within 2 weeks they have a heart attack and they die. And they never get to enjoy their retirement. That does happen. Just like this fella here. And so he has plenty, but he's just laying up treasure upon the earth. It's negative to lay up treasure upon the earth and consider the earth as your only realm to invest. Don't do that. So when you look into our passage and you read here in Matthew chapter 6, we have the analogy of the earthly. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But," now here is the command to lay up in heaven, "but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." But, don't invest solely on this earthly realm. There's nothing wrong with you having a savings account. There's nothing wrong with you having a retirement account. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. But if all you have is placed upon the earthly, when you leave it all behind. So what you want to do, as you might hear in the modern society, you might want to invest widely, you know. Spread your investment around. And so invest not only in the earthly, which we need to prepare, but also you want to invest in the spiritual. If all your investment on the earthly is, and you have investing nothing in the spiritual, you're making a huge mistake. Jesus said, "But what you need to do is you need to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Those terms, lay up, it's the same term we found in verse 19. The treasure is the same word that you found in verse 19. It's the same phrase, you just don't see the negative. And so he says in verse 19, don't treasure up treasures. In verse 20, he says, treasure up treasures. But the location is different. The investment is different. And what you recognize when you look at verse 20, it is a very positive statement. When we do things, we can do things here which we can enjoy up there. Can I phrase it like that? I believe that I can. That means we can invest in the future. When I leave this world, I'll leave all this behind. What about when I get there? Can I lay up anything up there? Can I invest in anything up there? Absolutely. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Don't put all of it here. Lay up treasure in heaven. And those future investments are absolutely secure. Isn't that a grand thing? Where the earthly treasures, well, the moth corrupts and the rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal. He says, you lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The investment that you lay up in the spiritual items in heaven are things that cannot be taken away. And you will enjoy them forever. And so we have a clear lesson here. Now the question is, and you might be raising this up, well, we're told to lay up treasure in heaven, but what might that treasure be? Because you certainly can't send up, you know, take a credit card or whatever, and I'm going to lay up treasure and I'm going to be able to cash it when I get there. You can't be like the Egyptians and fill your coffin with gold and silver and food and all kinds of things and figure you can use it in the afterlife. It's still going to be there. So lay up treasure. What might this treasure be? Let me suggest unto you. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I submit unto you that some of the treasure which we might lay up into heaven will be the actions taken on this earth while which were done unto Jesus Christ. And those things are things which merit eternal reward. Well, we have an example in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 37 through verse 39, in which we'll read. As he talks about the Lord coming back and the judgment of the nations, the goats and the sheep, and he speaks of those sheep on the right hand, and he says, well, you glance back at verse 35, I was hungry, you gave me meat, I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and so forth. And then we get to verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? They said, we didn't know that. We didn't do any of that to you. Jesus responds, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Do you find a lesson here? Do you find that when you do something in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've done it unto Him, which He says, come you enter into the blessings and the kingdom which you shall inherit? And that when they fed that brother that didn't have any food, they were doing it unto Christ. When they visited him in the person in prison, they did it unto Christ. I think that's the laying up treasure. And those are actions which are done here, which will be accounted up there. And so as you endeavor to follow the Lord, when you endeavor to serve Him, and you're found faithful, and you help that individual that needs food. You say, well, I didn't do it unto Jesus. Well, yes, you did. You did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You did it for His honor and for His glory. You were just helping because that's what God laid upon your heart to do. You know what? I think that's a treasure in heaven. When you visit the sick, when you give the word of encouragement, that Christian's down and discouraged, and you just walk up beside them, put your arm around them, and you say, listen, I'm praying for you, and you be encouraged, and this is what the word of God has to say. That's a treasure you're laying up. That's the investment into the spiritual, is it not? As you pray for others, you labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit unto you that these things that we can do, that we do for Jesus Christ's sake, and we do it for His honor, for His glory, we're being obedient to the Lord, we lay up treasure in heaven. I think when we're being found faithful, when we serve Him, when we're obedient, we're laying up treasure in heaven. It's worth your time to come to the house of the Lord, and it's worth your time to bring others with you, and it's worth your time to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? You're laying up treasure in heaven. As you serve and live and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you do it unto Him. You say, well, I didn't do it unto Him, but He says you did. So learn the lesson from Matthew chapter 25, verse 37 through verse 39. In like fashion, I believe that performing acts of mercy in secret brings eternal reward. Over in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 1, He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And it's just not a matter of giving to the poor, but also in that passage, it's talking about praying. You can pray openly and have reward. They'll see you and they'll pat you on the back and really just give, oh yeah, you're just a tremendous person. But it says, he that sees in secret shall reward thee openly. And that's not always in this world. God can bless and God can meet your need and He can reward you. But I think there's an eternal aspect to that. That when you do things in secret, you're not doing it to be seen of men. You're not doing it to get the pat on the back. And you give your alms in secret. You help the poor. You don't tell anybody about that. You pray to the Lord. You go into your prayer closet. You don't tell anybody about that. And God sees in secret and He rewards openly. And I think that's investment into the eternal things. If you'll go to Luke chapter 12, and it's still a very similar consideration. And actually, this is Luke's account of the similar things that are being expressed in Matthew chapter 6. But I would like for you to read Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. Where he tells them, he says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where neither thief approaches nor moth doth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you'll notice in this passage, he talks a little bit before in verse 31 about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you go over to the book of Matthew chapter 6, where our text was, that was in verse 33. And if you back up from verse 33 back to our text, which is verse 19 and verse 20, you get the similar idea here. Now he talks about in the passage, sell all that you have and give it all to the poor. And so I'm not saying for you to go out and just give out every dime that you ever have, because if you do that, you're likely going to be knocking on my door tomorrow for something to eat. But you can give to the poor. Don't lay up all your stuff, heap up, well, I can't help there, I can't do this because I'm heaping up on earth. If you just heap up on the earth, you're going to leave it all behind. What do you have laid up into heaven? What do you have up there? What have you invested in? And so all that you have, and the text says here that you give alms, if you're providing for the poor, he says what you do is you provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. Can I do things in this earth, even with my money, that will invest in heavenly things? Absolutely. I'm convinced that every nickel I ever give to the Lord, whether it be in tithes or offerings or mission giving, God will say, I will reward you for that. And that's an investment in spiritual things. And you can provide, he says, you'll provide bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens. Again, where it doesn't fail, where thief does not approach, and neither moth doth corrupt. And then, of course, we see that quick lesson. We'll see this again a little bit later. But in verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's the most important thing for you? And so we see some of these verses that indicate for us that we can invest in spiritual things. And I think that we should invest in spiritual things. But I also find when I look into the Scripture that Jesus teaches the rich man. And remember that rich man came to Jesus and said, what can I do to inherit eternal life? I'm a good person and all that. And Jesus told him, he said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. Now there are three counts of this in the Scripture. But in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, it says, Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and take up your cross and follow me. Now there isn't one of us that would say for an instance that this guy was getting to heaven by doing good works. Or well, all he had to do to get this righteousness was sell everything that he had, give it to the poor, and he'll have an entrance into heaven. I don't believe that's the case at all. The guy would never do that because his heart was wrong. He was covetous. And Jesus was saying this unto him to point out the fact of his covetousness. But the fact is, if you do give, and we already seen a few of those verses, if you do give, then you lay up treasure in heaven. And that's what he tells them here. If you would give to the poor, then you can have treasure in heaven. There is an impact. There are things that you can do in this world that you can lay up or invest in heaven. Further, you will find in Matthew chapter 5 where faithfulness in the midst of persecution reaps eternal reward. You say, well, I don't know how to respond to persecution. If you respond faithful, here's Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Because you were persecuted for my name's sake, and you've endured it well, great is your reward in heaven. Isn't that an investment in the future? And I would mention just in passing the crowns of which Paul speaks, that we might receive one such as the crown of rejoicing, but there are other crowns. Can you invest in spiritual things? Absolutely. And overall, what we find is we will receive what we have sowed. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 27, says the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall He reward every man according to his works. And the truth of the matter is, how I live for Jesus Christ, whether I'm obedient or not obedient, whether I'm investing all of my time and money and efforts and all that in the earthly things, or if I'm laying up treasure in heaven, it's all going to come out in the wash one of these days. Because when He comes, He's going to reward every man according to his works. And if you laid everything up upon this earth, then you're going to leave it all behind. And you'll enter into His presence barely with anything. And so we find that there are things that we can do. Do you know, and let me suggest this unto you, then I'll give you a quick summary and I'll be finished in just a few moments. You know, and think about this. Even the activity of a church can have an impact on future reward or loss, depending on what is bound or loosed and whether it was positive or negative. Now think about that. Matthew 16:19. The other passage is Matthew 18:18. But he says in Matthew 16:19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You think there's a laying up of eternal something? Treasure? Investments? And that depends whether it's negative or positive. But even in a church context, there's an obligation to invest. In sum, I submit unto you, and if you departed from Luke chapter 12, go back unto there if you'd like. But in sum, I think what it is we can invest in spiritual things. We had mentioned a little while ago about the rich man that had all of his barns and all that, and he decided he's going to pull down his barns and build bigger barns, and we read in that passage there, and verse 19 and verse 20, that, well, you know what? You're going to die, and whose will all these things be now? And, well, do you know what it said in verse 21? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Nothing wrong with having a house. Nothing wrong with having a car or a barn. Nothing wrong with being able to provide for your food. And Paul teaches that a man ought to take care of his household. There is nothing wrong with that. But this guy has all the abundance, and he says, well, I can just keep on bringing this stuff in, so I'm going to build bigger barns, so I can just have ease for the rest of my life and retire and just travel the world and all that kind of a thing. And he says, who shall these things be? And you take that example which he stated there in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so I submit unto your understanding today that if all you're doing is laying up treasure for you, then you've missed the boat, because what's going to happen is one of these days you're going to leave this life and every bit of it's going to be left behind. And all the joy you had was all the joy that you came through this earth with. And you haven't laid anything up for the heaven, that's going to be a sad time for many people. There are some who make it, Corinthians says, that make it just so as by fire. I mean, it's just like all their works are burnt up. What a terrible thing. But you want to be rich toward God. That's the idea. The word rich in this text here, Luke chapter 12, verse 21, that you want to be rich toward God. The word rich means to become rich, or it is, of course, then to abound in or to be abundantly furnished with. It comes from a root word which means riches, wealth, or opulence. You want to be rich toward God. Go, if you would, back to our text, Matthew chapter 6. If you're away from there, go back. And what I submit unto you is, we have the earthly analogy in verse 19. Do not lay up treasure, or do not treasure up treasures on earth. But verse 20 is treasure up treasures for your in heaven. Now here's the motivation that's expressed. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the last part of our text. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We had seen that before when we looked into chapter 12 of the book of Luke. And I said, we'll look at this again a little later on. But what do you find from this? Well, you have a choice of where you're going to invest. You want to invest only on the earth? Or are you going to invest in heaven too? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But the opposite of this statement is true. Where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Yeah, that's true. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. But, well, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. That's why you're laying it there. That's what you set your heart upon. Colossians chapter 3. So what does Paul tell the Colossian people and to us? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Do you know why? Because where your heart is, that's where you're going to put your treasure. Where your treasure is where your heart is. I submit unto you, my dear friend, invest in the spiritual. Invest in the spiritual. In closing then, Let me offer a few statements. The first two are statements you probably heard, and I think they're just good to insert here. Don't put all your eggs in this basket. If all you do is invest in this earth, you'll leave it all behind. But opposed to that, second phrase perhaps you've heard, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You need to be wise. You need to have a leadership of the Lord. You need to invest in spiritual things. But don't put all your eggs in this basket. You need to invest in different areas. And so I encourage you, make investment into spiritual things. Why? Where you invest shows your heart. And where your investment is where your heart will be. And so if your investment is all wrapped up in the 401k, in your retirement, and all that you expect to enjoy one of these days, if that is your focus, that's where your heart is, and do you not see there's a great void there? There's an emptiness. Especially knowing the fact that you're going to leave it all behind one of these days. Invest in spiritual things. But let me say unto you as I close, before you can invest, you have to first establish an account. You understand what I mean by that? And that might sound like a trite statement, but before you can invest, you have to establish an account. In other words, dear sinner, the first thing you need is to establish an account. You need Jesus as Savior. You need to recognize that you're a sinner, lost and undone, and you need to, by God's grace, repent, believe on Him, that you might have eternal life. Then and only then can you invest in spiritual things. You can't lay up treasure in heaven as a lost person because you don't even have an account there. But if you repent and believe on the Lord, and God saves you, gives you eternal life, you're a child of the King, then you have an account there. You can invest in spiritual things. I hope you see the tie of that, and I hope that you don't see that as a trite statement. I don't mean to diminish anything, but sinner, your greatest need is Jesus Christ. And then we who are saved, we need to recognize there's a heaven to gain. And one of these days we're going to step there. What have I laid up? Where have my investments been? And so I ask you, as I finish, are you prepared to leave? Are you prepared to leave? Sinner, you're not prepared to leave. If He should come back right now, you'd be left behind. If He should die right now, you'd lift up your eyes in hell. You don't have preparation. You need Jesus. And I pray that God would convict you of your sin and save you so that you might have eternal life, so that you might be prepared to leave this life into the next. But all Christian, we know we're saved. We know we have a home in heaven. Are we ready to leave? Have we put any investment up there? Have we been found faithful? Have we given those that were thirsty drink? Have we given food to those that were hungry? Have we clothed those that were naked? Have we visited those that have been sick and those who are in prison? Have we been found faithful? Have we witnessed to the Lord? Have we been true? Have we been encouraging? Have we been helpful? Have we been offering prayers? All the things that we can do as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we can invest in heaven. And I encourage you to invest in spiritual things. I pray that God make a difference in your life. Let's stand. God in heaven, we commit this time to You today, thanking You for this privilege. I pray that You'd just take away any frailties of my speech. And take that which is effectual to the hearts of everyone here, that the lost might be saved and the saved might be encouraged today to understand these principles and to apply these principles, that they would take an interest in setting affections upon things above, not on things in the earth, to love You more and to be found faithful and true. Lord, knowing that we are investing in spiritual things, help us to do so. Forgive us where we fall short. Direct our lives. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Songs number